In Turkey, really, it's a very hard cuisine to call just Turkish cuisine because it encompasses so many different things in different regions. So wherever you go in Turkey, from one town to the other, there's a big variety and abundance of and regionality of different flavors.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Turkey and Australia have had the most extraordinary history and just a really unique connection, whether through politics, conflict, migration, or food. There are many stories that connect these two extraordinary countries. But for the most part, food is the connective tissue. Soma Sivrioglu is the owner of Efendi and Anison in Sydney and Efendi in Istanbul. And he's opening a few more restaurants too. Soma, how are you?
Very well, Anthony. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's great to get you on the show. You're a pretty busy person. There's lots going on in your world. You're back in Sydney and opening some restaurants. What's it like being back in Sydney?
It's great. I mean, the torrential rains have stopped, so it's much better than it used to be while I was away. So now I'm very happy to be back in here and opening up new restaurants.
What does it feel like opening new restaurants after the turbulence of the last 2 years?
I've been away for pretty much 8 months. That has been the longest time that I've been away from Sydney. I was here at the beginning of pandemic when we had Efendi Balmain. And it was a very different feel then. Everyone was quite resilient. We were still hopeful that we could come out of it. But then I left pretty much about a month after. Then I came back last year, did my quarantine, which was very difficult mentally. And then pretty much the whole city was feeling really doomy and gloomy. And when I came back, and I came back a day before Easter, and I was amazed how buzzy the city was. Like, it was almost like pre-Olympics. Like, there was a huge buzz around in Sydney. Restaurants were bustling. It was all happening. But once I get into the restaurants, it is the biggest issue that we all have in the industry now is the amount of staff levels. Like, the service was non-existent in most of the restaurants, so that was the biggest shock for me on my trip this year.
Well, you're doing many things over in Turkey as well as in Australia. You're one of the best operators in the country in regards to Turkish restaurants. So what's it been like for you and your time in Australia running Turkish restaurants compared to food back in Turkey?
I've been here 25 years, so before I started to spend my time, I started to spend part-time in here and part-time in Turkey. The first 10 years I was involved in big restaurant openings for big groups. I was their group general manager because I came here to do my MBA. And after that, I pretty much worked with those big companies and opening up and closing restaurants. So I was more at a senior position. And I always seen the opportunity that the Turkish cuisine in here was not represented as good as it should have at that time. I'm talking about 15 years ago when I opened up Efendi, with the exception of the amazing Ottoman restaurant in Canberra, which I sadly heard that it's closed or closing. That was an institution. Apart from that, there was no Turkish restaurant per se. There were a lot of kebab shops and cheap and cheerful places, but nothing that you could name it as a restaurant. So, I took it upon myself and I said, I can do it. I know what needs to be done. But it was quite challenging because it is very hard to introduce a cuisine when there's a type of cuisine that is already established in here. When I opened up in Balmain, people didn't understand, are you going to open a kebab shop? Like, why are you opening a Turkish restaurant? I mean, some of them was even and I see that a lot throughout my career in little innocent racisms, why would you open a Turkish restaurant in such a nice restaurant? And I was just saying, wow, what do you mean? So we opened up Efendi, and it was a big struggle for the first 2 years. But once we get over that, and I always say this, the 2010 Sydney International Food Festival, Joanna was creating it, Joanna Saville, and she brought two amazing chefs from Turkey, Mehmet Gürs and my mentor, Musa Dadevrat. The Turkish food aficionados would know him from the chef's table on Netflix. And they have been instrumental on me understanding the way the Turkish cuisine should be represented here in Sydney. And since then, it has been an amazing journey. So it changed the way that I think, and it changed the way that I approached my restaurants, and the rest is history.
Well, I want to explore what you have created here and also what you've been doing back in Turkey as well. But take us back to when you were really young. What sort of role did food play in your family?
I lived in one of the most the last remaining multicultural communities in Turkey. I'm born and raised in Kadıköy on the Anatolian part of Istanbul, where we had lots of Armenian, Greek, and Jewish families living in the suburb, because it was predominantly those minorities living in there, and then the Turks move in there into that suburb. So it was very colorful. It was delightful. Like, I was quite lucky to have the taste of those cultures. And, you know, slowly, unfortunately, they started to leave the country, and it became such a monoculture, even in that area. But I was very lucky when I was a child that I could, like, pretty much just, you know, play and eat on the street and at neighbors' houses, feeding on delicious food.
Do you have any stories of feasts within the family and the sort of food that you sort of enjoyed when you were young?
Yeah, I mean, it's around mid-70s when Turkey was opening up to Europe. It was getting quite modern. And my grandma, she was pretty much like the first significance of food for me was about like how it brings everyone onto the table and how much of a connection it is. Like, you know, I had two uncles and my mom, which they were quite, you know, they were very busy. My uncles were doctors. And my mom was, you know, she's always been a Le Bon Vivant, you know, living the life, bit of a hippie. But, you know, they would all come to the table and they will discuss daily events, politics. They all had different stands on life. But my grandma's cooking was what brought them all together.
What spawned the sort of move to become a chef and head down that path for you?
My mom opened up, she's one of the first Turkish female chefs to open up a meyhane, which we are now quite familiar with the term in here. So it's a mezabar, Turkish mezabar, or a Turkish tavern. And she was one of the first female chefs that opened it. And I was working on the floor normally, but she was quite temperamental. So she would sack chefs every other day. So half of my time, forcefully, was working in the kitchen, finishing off what the last chef she sacked started off. So I worked with so many chefs within like 2 years, probably more than 20, 30 different chefs.
Tell us about the move to Australia. Were you surprised by the culinary scene here when you first arrived?
I was actually. I remember coming to Australia in 1995, and the first place that I went to was a backpackers just across from Pasha's in Newtown, old school Turkish restaurant that has been there ages. And I was amazed. It's just like 15,000 kilometers away, and there's a Turkish restaurant in here, exactly where I'm staying. It was a great scene. You know, this is the, you know, coming from Turkey, it is still like that in Turkey. Like, you know, for us, there is a Turkish food, and even the term that they are using in there is, you know, it's quite ethnocentric. They said there's the Turkish food and there's the world food. So whatever is not the Turkish food is considered as the world food, and as if Turkey is not part of the world. It's just like all we knew was Asian food. We didn't even know that there were different countries. Forget about the provenances and everything like that. And being a student, I live very close to Chinatown later on. And then I was delighted with the culinary scene in here, that, you know, especially, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Malaysian, Thai, and Indian foods. There were flavors that I never tasted before in my life.
Turkish food is so different depending where you are there. But what's that special about Turkish cuisine for you?
It's the abundance and regionality, Anthony. Like, you know, in Turkey, really, it's a very hard cuisine to call just Turkish cuisine because it encompasses so many different things in different regions. You know, you go to the Aegean region on the very west, and it's really based on vegetables, small fish of the Aegean Sea, a lot of seafood, olive oil. Olive oil is very prominent in cooking. Then you go to the east of Turkey, then it's all about butter, bread, legumes, and lamb. Obviously, a lot of lamb and kebabs and baklavas and things like that. So it's, you know, they don't even seem like part of the same cuisine, but they just all blend. And then there are regions that are not very well known outside of Turkey, like the Black Sea region, for example. That is incredible, incredible greeneries and a lot of different types of green vegetables, small fish called hamsi, like an anchovy, that they use it very resourcefully. So wherever you go in Turkey, from one town to the other, there's a like, big variety and abundance of and regionality of different flavors.
Tell us a little bit about your cooking and your interpretation of the different elements of Turkish cuisine. I know Efendi and Anasan are very different propositions, but tell us a little bit about them.
I think the biggest change for me, as I said, in 2010, has been that I finally understood that, you know, I need to be the local Turkish chef of Sydney. So I can forget about it. As the migrant chefs, we always fall into this trap. Like, we don't have this produce, so we cannot cook it as good as we do back in our homeland. Or, you know, we don't have these things in here. But then you understand when you're aware, we have an amazing produce in here. You know, the abundance of vegetables, the fruits, the quality of the beef, and even the lamb is incredible. So you can really cook your style, just pretty much just treating this is my local scene, this is my local market. So I will still cook everything the way that I cook, which is Turkish style, but using the flavors of here. So in Efendi, being my first restaurant, I was trying to, you know, just stay as close to my roots as I can and representing a Turkish cuisine that we are more familiar in Australia with charcoal barbecues, you know, like nice wood oven cooked breads and mezes and things like that. And when we moved to Anason, being just on the water, I said, this is the best place to pretty much cook what I'm used to eating on the Bosphorus on Istanbul, you know, with a glass of rakı or Turkish wines that are not very well known in here, which has nothing to do with kebabs. It's all about, you know, seafood, vegetables, small plates, sharing, things that can stay on the table long enough, because a Turkish table, like, you don't have 6:30, 8:30 bookings in Turkey. You know, if someone comes in whenever they want to come, when you book in a restaurant, you just book in for the night. So you go there 7, 8 o'clock and you leave midnight. So the food needs to reflect that it stays on the table, you know, so they're not there just to finish. So we don't have the French method of entremain desserts. Like, everything stays on the table and it's just a conversation, abundance of food, variety of the food that we share on the table. And that's what we represent in Anason. And now with the new restaurants, with Maidanos, we are doing more vegetable-driven. We are trying to introduce more vegetable-driven cuisine of Turkey, which is more like the Aegean cuisine. So it's really vegetable-driven. It's not a vegetarian restaurant, but the meat is taking a secondary place to the vegetable and produce of the region.
Is that something that you wouldn't necessarily have done 5 to 10 years ago? Do you think that the culinary landscape has changed enough to push into that direction?
I would definitely not do anything like that 10 years ago. Being a migrant it's a different philosophy. Now, when you immigrate to a new country, the first thing that you first urge you have is to fit in. I wasn't born in here. You know, I came from Turkey when I was 25. So I was an outsider and I had to fit into the culture. You know, it was a very welcoming culture, but still, you know, there's a dominant culture especially in the food scene. So what I was doing was I was pretty much just trying to fit into whatever was the culinary scene when I opened Efendi. So I was quite timid on expressing myself. You know, at that time it was was all about pork belly, for example, and discussing truffle oil. So I had it on my first menu. I had the lamb belly, because obviously I cannot use pork in a Turkish restaurant. And then I had some okras with truffle oil. And you know, neither of them are really Turkish. But that was like, I was thinking that I was trying to adapt it to what is in here. But then you gain confidence and you start to, you know, stand up on your own. And lucky we are in a culture that allows us. Most of my guests were saying to me that, look, I've been to Turkey. Why don't you do this dish? Why don't you start with that? And, you know, slowly once we gained confidence, we turned our mentality and we turned our approach to our food and using the techniques of Turkey without being worried about if they will be liked or not. But it's definitely improved a lot in here too.
You mentioned a bit earlier how you spend your time between Turkey and Australia. You're one of the hosts of MasterChef Turkey. Tell us the story of how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's season 5. It's amazing. And, you know, last year we have done 157 episodes. Each episode is 2 hours. So, you know, when I see some of my friends in here, like, and they're saying, we are very busy, we are shooting. It's just like what they shoot for MasterChef Australia in one season, we do that in 2 weeks. So it's quite a long show, and it's quite a dominating show because it's pretty much in the top 3 on every rating. So it became such a phenomenon. I was expecting it to be quite successful, unlike even the producers on the first season, but even I couldn't dream the success that it's having now. So yeah, it's very busy. It really helped us, helped me to express myself. You know, through the show, we have the chance to talk about different things. Like my role is more about talking about the other cuisines, you know, the other cultures, and expressing it. And just because I say things like, look, there's nothing called Asian cuisine. There are countries in there, and those countries have their own cuisine. And most of them have different regions in it as well. So it's very hard to label anything as an Asian food. And they just called me in Turkey now, he's the Asian food expert. I said, I'm not at all. I'm just a very good consumer of Asian food. But, you know, it's just even that is enough for the people to say, oh, he knows Asian food very well. He's such an expert in that field. So, yeah.
Can you tell us the story of how you got the gig?
It was quite funny, actually. What happened is I was going to Turkey. I do every year I used to do a Turkish food safari with Mev O'Mara. And when we were doing one, it finished. I was a guest speaker at an international seminar, 2 weeks after the food safari, but it got canceled in the last minute because of sponsors. And I was in Turkey for 2 years, and like being a chef, I would be ashamed to take the time off and having a holiday in there. So I heard that MasterChef Turkey was starting. So I know some of the people in it. So I send a message to them, look, I'm going to come as a guest chef, you know, while I'm in here, it will be good fun. You know, it's just like, I would love to appear in one of the episodes. The way that the message got relayed to the producers is saying that, you know, just he's thinking about being one of the judges. And they were trying to reach me. I didn't even know that. They were trying to reach me, but I said, I can't do it. I have 2 restaurants and the family. There's no way I can be away for 3 months. But then they convinced me, and I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky and happy that I took on the offer.
Our mutual friend Pierre from Pepe Sayabada spent some time with you in Turkey last year and
said we did.
He said you were mobbed everywhere you went. How have you adapted to this new life in Turkey?
Look, it's not something that I crave for, and it's not adapting. It's just pretty much the condition that I'm in now. And it's a TV show, you know. It will go on as long as it goes on. And I know that once it finishes, it will not be something that I will crave for, you know, because I'm not an actor, you know. I'm not a singer. I'm just celebrity by coincidence in there. And in the end, I'm a chef, and what I love is cooking and opening restaurants and present around the world. So nothing will change for me once when the day comes, you know, but I'm riding it as long as I can, obviously.
What have you enjoyed about doing the show, and has it given you a different insight into food and people?
Definitely. I mean, first of all, it really made me connect me with a much deeper level to my culture, because I left Turkey when I was 25. And although I traveled a bit even before then, the food scene in there, like anywhere else, is evolving and changing. So I've been to 50 different cities, and, you know, being part of the show, it gave me a lot of insight on the way that they cook, how they cook it, and why they cook it that way. So it gave me an incredible insight to the regional food on Turkey that I didn't have before.
At the top of the show, we talked about the fact that you're in the process right now of opening some new restaurants. Now, tell us a bit about both of them and where they are and what you're doing.
Sure. Maidanoz is on 50 Carrington Street. That's pretty much like Midtown, so to say, close to Vineyard. And it's a, you know, small and cute restaurant. We are opening it on Friday. And it's representing, I'm trying to showcase the type of Turkish cuisine that is very familiar in Turkey, but we don't have a lot of examples outside of Turkey, which is like vegetable-driven food of the Aegean culture. So it's not necessarily just vegetarian, but, you know, if you have any meat in it, it will be just a beef mince or a lamb mince or a piece of chicken with the bone. But the reality will be its food will be more about the legumes, the greens, the vegetables, seasonal vegetables of that culture, and mainly cooked with olive oil. You know, the Turkish olive oil braising is a very different cooking method I have not seen in any other culture. So it's very gentle. You poach it almost in olive oil without boiling it, and it really keeps the character of the produce. And, you know, we want to do a few dishes like that, you know, presenting some of the organic and small wineries of Turkey, which are quite exciting and different. And we don't have many examples of that in here either. So, yeah, just trying to open up a small city restaurant like that. That's what it's about.
You mentioned when you first moved here, that sort of need to or to fit in and then represent your culture as well. What? How do you see the culinary landscape and life for a migrant now in Australia, sort of 25 years on from when you first arrived?
Look, I mean, it's just pretty much everything that we are going through. Most of my chef friend sets are Italians, probably because culturally we are close together. So when I speak to them, it was like, for example, Danny Russo is a great friend of mine. And, you know, everything that they went through 20 years ago, we are going through as Turkish chefs, for example. So it's just the waves that are coming, you know, then there's more migration than a certain type of the culture is changing. You know, I mean, Italians had that, Chinese had that before that. Now I think it's more the Turkish, Greek, and other communities that are not as been in Australia, that have not been in Australia as long, are starting to shine and showcase their own cuisine. It's quite open. I think I lived in America for a year, and I lived in London for 6 months. And, you know, both being capitals of culinary cultures, like international culinary cultures, Australia is the most open-minded, because in here we don't really say, do it the way that I like it. Like, we are very respectful of people doing their own style. But also, I mean, obviously it is still hard for immigrants to make into the industry. It takes a bit long, but it's a reality of life, really. You know, my experience has always been the cultures that do not have a culinary dominance, like France, Italy, to a certain extent, Turkey, the immigrant cuisines flourish in those regions a lot more than, for example, like in France or Italy or in Turkey. And we are one of those countries, quite a new country, so we don't really, you know, if you don't count the Aboriginal food culture, we don't really have a dominant food culture, leading food culture in Australia.
The new restaurants that you're opening at the moment will, you know, add to the offerings that you've got as well. You opened Effendi in Istanbul. Is it much different to what you were doing in Sydney? And what's the response been like over there?
The character and the style is the same. I mean, we always talk about the food of the restaurants, but, you know, in the service culture of Efendi Istanbul will be very similar to the service culture in here, because my partner is someone who lived in Australia for 15 years and worked at Efendi in here as well. So that is the only service culture that we are brought up with, and we are trying to adapt that in Turkey. And the amount of reaction that we get, mostly from our staff, saying that no, we don't do it like that. You know, we don't call our customers mate. You know, we don't like, you know. and we say that's fine. Let's change it. I mean, we have nothing to lose. People are liking it. I mean, they know that it's quite different than most of the restaurants in that. So we are doing things quite differently, and it is probably the closest restaurant that you can find in Sydney or in Australia to our culture. But obviously, the food is showcasing the many varieties of Turkish cuisine. So it is similar in so many sense, apart from the produce. But it wouldn't be any different if I was opening up in Fiji, for example. I will use the whatever produce they have over there.
You've built the most incredible career of influence in Australia and in Turkey. Well, what do you love about what you do?
At the moment, I love being in limbo. I mean, sometimes it's real tiring because I wake up and it just takes me 30 seconds to realize, okay, where am I now? Like, what am I doing now? Like, am I going to the studio or am I going down to Barangaroo? And so, you know, it does get tiring, but I like it because, you know, I mean, I see that I'm quite lucky because I work really hard, but I see the results of it. Finally, I start to see the results of it. So I'm really enjoying it. And I really enjoy not being held on by a dominant culture. Like, if I was a Turkish chef living only in Turkey, I see that, you know, they are, if you look at in the culinary scene, and if you look at all the chefs in Turkey that are being talked about in the world, like Mehmet Gürs, Musa Dadevran, Maksut Aşkar, all the great chefs we have, Turkish chefs we have in here, like Ibi, like Coşkun in Melbourne, like Ismail in Melbourne before. None of us came from that culinary ranks of Turkey that is quite limiting. And it gives us a great luxury that we can be more adventurous. You know, we can play around with flavors and we can adapt and do our things. So I really like that aspect of my life at the moment.
Well, it's been an absolute honor to have you on Deep in the Weeds today. I know you're incredibly busy.
No, it's been great being in here because this has been your podcast has been my go-to when I'm in Turkey to see what is happening in Australia, because it gives great insight and real stories about all our contemporaries in the industry. So I thank you for inviting me.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. Please keep in touch, and we'll definitely have to catch up again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast, or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.